Let's go back. Item 36. We are at Measure D, Active Transportation Category Capacity, and I'll turn it over to staff.
Good morning, Commissioners. Grace Blakeslee of your staff. I'm here this, well, now it's an afternoon, to discuss the Measure D Active Transportation Capacity with you and delivery of Coastal Rail Trail projects. Next slide, please. Just as a brief reminder, voters approved Measure D in 2016 in the associated expenditure plan. It allows RTC to collect a half-cent sales tax and spend the revenues in accordance with the approved Measure D expenditure plan. Funds can, under the active transportation category, funds can be used for trail construction, trail operations and management, as well as maintenance and maintenance of the rail corridor. To date, Measure D active transportation funds have leveraged significant state and federal funding, and segments of the Coastal Rail Trail are moving forward based on these funding awards. At the April 18th meeting, RTC staff presented various scenarios for future Measure D active transportation allocations for the Measure D active transportation category. The item in presentation today is in response to the RTC's action at their April 18th meeting to commit to fully funding segments 10 and 11 and to analyze scenarios for future funding of segments 13 through 20 located in the southern portion of Santa Cruz County. I will review some of those scenarios shared with the RTC at their April 18th meeting again today. In addition, I will provide information about alternative funding scenarios and describe how they could impact Measure D active transportation category capacity. Next slide, please. So as mentioned at the April 18th meeting, $174 million in Measure D active transportation category revenues are projected for the life of Measure D from fiscal year 2016-2017 to 2046-47. Revenue estimates are adjusted at least annually and can vary based on actual revenues and interest rates, as interest rate estimates going forward. To date, $63 million in Measure D active transportation category revenues have been programmed and approved by the Regional Transportation Commission, and you can see this in the approved five-year Measure D plans. The $63 million invested have resulted in over 18 miles of trail that are now under development or constructed or in construction. Based on current programming, there is a balance of $93 million in Measure D active transportation revenues. RTC staff evaluates these investments of future revenues and provides options to the Regional Transportation Commission about how to strategically invest these funds. But it's important to note that actual funding available at any time is significantly impacted by the timing of the proposed expenditures and bonding against future revenues. This is because of the interest cost associated with borrowing the funds. The cost of the project is also informed by how project costs increase due to their escalation. So I will review a range of funding scenarios and project delivery options with you in a future slide, but I wanted to give you an example. At the April 18th meeting, I presented what could be considered an existing condition. It was referred to as scenario one, showing that there is a balance of an estimated $97 million in Measure D active transportation remaining capacity based on previously programmed decisions. And so it's important to understand that this assumes a relatively limited amount of bonding, only $20 million, with the remaining $97 million spent on what might be referred to as a pay-as-you-go basis. So by committing Measure D active transportation funds to the project sooner will require additional bonding with the accompanying debt service, thus reducing the Measure D active transportation funding available. Next slide, please. So you're probably familiar with this slide, and this is the 32 miles of Coastal Rail Trail that are defined in the Monterey Bay Sanctuary Scenic Trail Master Plan. And this provides an overview of the status of the project development. The areas shown in red indicate that the project is funded through construction and the green sections are completed. The focus of today's agenda item is discussing funding strategies for the trail segments that extend from Rio Del Mar through the city of Watsonville to Pajaro, shown in pink on the slide. Another component of today's item is addressing potential cost increases in the segments that have already received state and federal funding, largely segments 8, 9, 10, and 11 that were discussed at your April meeting. Next slide, please. Okay. So this is another slide that's showing the portion of the trail segments 13 through 20. This is a slide through from the zero emission passenger rail and trail project that Riley was discussing in the prior agenda item. The 13 through 20 are shown on the dashed line highlighted in green. This portion of the trail traverses the communities of Aptos, La Selva Beach, Harkin Slough, and City of Watsonville and Pajaro. And the segments 13 would provide pedestrian and bicycle connections for individuals living in and around the city of Watsonville to Aptos, Live Oak, and the city of Santa Cruz, as well as south to Pajaro. There are approximately 34,000 residents living within a half mile of these segments, and three of these areas are designated as disadvantaged populations. Next slide, please. So talking a little bit about options for project delivery for segments 13 through 20. Right now, as you heard from Riley in the prior item, they are completing the alignment of these sections as part of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project. Once the alignments are complete, there's the opportunity to move these projects forward into the project approval and environmental phase, which is referred to as PAED often. And this involves establishing the project footprint and analyzing the potential impacts, the environmental impacts of the project. And then once the project has completed the project approval and environmental phase, it can move into final design. So RTC staff has considered options for advancing these segments, including combining environmental review and preliminary design with the environmental review and preliminary design for passenger rail and trail as part of the next phase of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project, which would initiate in 2025 or 26. Another option is to use local funds to advance these project development, which could include the Measure D Active Transportation Category funds, State Transportation Improvement Program funds, Surface Transportation Block Grant funds, or also referred to as Regional Surface Transportation Program Exchange funds. RTC staff also expects to apply for a Cycle 8 State Active Transportation Program grant funds to fund project approval and environmental document phase for segments 13 through 20. And to be most competitive, a grant proposal should propose a local match and advance the project to the extent possible prior to the grant submittal. Typically, projects that are construction ready are the most competitive for some of these grant funds. Next slide, please. Okay, this table is also in the packet, if it's easier to view in your packet. So at the April 18th meeting, the RTC considered these scenarios and discussed options for addressing the potential funding gaps for coastal rail trail projects under development, as well as how to come up with a plan to fund ongoing corridor and trail maintenance over the life of Measure D. As mentioned before, RTC directed staff to move forward with cost reduction measures and continue to pursue additional fundings for coastal rail trail projects segments 10 and 11 to fully fund the project. Also at the April 18th meeting, RTC directed staff to return to the RTC with information about setting aside $45 million in Measure D active transportation category funds for the development of coastal rail trail segments 13 through 20, setting aside $45 million for maintenance, and $7 million to assist with budgets for segments currently under development. So I've provided here five different scenarios for you to consider. These are meant to provide different options, and none of these funds have been programmed. Today, you're not being asked to program these funds. This is for informational purposes only. You'll notice that the projected revenue for each scenario, which is the first row, thank you, Amy, for pointing it out, is the same. So we'll start with $174 million. And the third row, the $63 million, which is the already previously approved program funds, is the same under all scenarios. And the second row, the amount of borrowing that would be needed to deliver the projects varies in each scenario dependent based on the anticipated revenues and the projects that are being delivered. Scenarios 1 and 2 are the same as the scenarios provided to you at your April 18th meeting to try to provide a point of reference. Scenario 1 provides a picture of available revenues based on the previously approved funds, $63 million and $20 million in borrowing based on 2022 cost estimates for Coastal Rail Trail segments 8 through 11. Scenario 2 assumes that Measure D active transportation revenues fully fund potential cost increases for segments 8 and 11 based on current cost estimates. So that's the $43 million that you see shown in the fourth row for scenario 2. Should RTC expend Measure D active transportation revenues to fully fund segments 8 through 11, so that $43 million, that's based on that current cost estimates that I mentioned, that would leave the Measure D active transportation category a balance of $15 million, and there would be insufficient funds to advance all of the remaining segments. This scenario, in order to deliver these projects as currently scheduled, would require $72 million in bonding with a debt service cost of $125 million. Segment scenario 3 reflects the analysis requested by the Regional Transportation Commission at their April 18th meeting and assumes $45 million in set aside for the development of segments 13 through 20. $45 million for segments 13 through 20 is close to a 20% match for those segments, which is considered, I think a commissioner asked this at the last meeting, what we just assume as the match when we're putting forward grant applications. We typically assume a minimum 20% match. And actually, to speak to the current member of the public discussing segments 17, Commissioner Schifrin's correct. There is a discussion of the segment 17A and B alignment also in the staff report, because the cost of the segment 17A along the environmentally sensitive area is significantly more than if it was routed in the alignment of 17B along Beach Street and San Andreas Road. So this 40, when I'm talking about the 20% match, I'm assuming the 17B alignment, which uses existing on-street facilities and enhances those and removes it from the rail line for that 4.5 miles along Harkins Loop. So in this situation, this analysis that was requested by the Regional Transportation Commission in April, you can see that remaining Measure D capacity is $12 million. Absent the receipt of any new funding or reduced cost for segments 8 through 11, the scenario would not fully fund segments 8 through 11 based on potential cost increases. Scenario 4 is intended to accomplish continue to support constructions of the segments 8 through 11 that already have been awarded state and federal funds, and then also allocating some funds, $10 million, to advance segments 13 through 20. Scenario 4 assumes that $10 million for 13 through 20 would help to get the pre-construction activities started in fiscal year 26-27 once the zero emission passenger rail and trail project concept report is complete. Scenario 4 also assumes $20 million in Measure D active transportation revenues are reserved for segments 8 through 11, and that the remaining balance, or the difference between the $20 million and the $43 million potential cost increases, are met by outside funding, state or federal funding, and project cost reduction measures. Scenario 4 also assumes approximately 50% of trail and corridor maintenance costs are funded by Measure Active Transportation revenues, not the full 36 or 30 million that we've discussed previously. But again, in scenario 4, absent the receipt of any new funding or reduced costs, this scenario would not fully fund the potential cost increases on segments 8 through 11. And for scenario 5, you can see if we had our wish list and wanted to fund everything that we've previously talked with the commission about, you'll see that the Measure D is oversubscribed if you include fully funding the costs of segment 8 through 11 potential cost increases, you know, add in the set aside that was requested, as well as that one doesn't have the cost and does not include the cost of trail maintenance and corridor maintenance, apologies. But you can still see that it's oversubscribed if you set aside the funding for segments 8-13 through 20 as requested, as well as the fully funding potential cost increases for segments 8 and 11. Next slide, please. So in summary, you know, Measure D will be oversubscribed, as I said, and that's described in that scenario 5. That's the first bullet there. Second, RTC is continuing to seek state and federal funding for coastal rail trail projects and identify cost reduction measures as directed by the commission at their April meeting. And today, RTC staff is recommending that we continue to seek state and federal funds for segments 13 through 20 as part of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project or as a standalone project. Also to consider options for using Measure active transportation category funds or other local funds to advance segments 13 through 20 through pre-construction activities. Also consider prioritizing RTC discretionary funds to develop priority bicycle and pedestrian and safety improvements in the city of Watsonville, which could include portions of the Coastal Rail Trail Segment 18. And then finally, to continue to work with local jurisdictions to identify alternative sources of funding for trail maintenance to preserve the Measure D funds for trail construction. And that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll start with commissioner comments and questions. Yes, Commissioner Montesino.
So thank you for all that analysis and work. Which scenario staff is recommending?
We are not recommending a specific scenario today. We can return to the commission when we update our five-year Measure D plan in the future to make a recommendation about future funding. This item is in response to the question to provide the analysis to the commission. I see Director Mitch Weiss wants to say something.
Yeah, well, and if I can, with the action that the commission recently took, we are essentially at scenario 2. And so absent any, you know, we're going to continue to look for cost reductions and seek additional funding. And that if we're able to do that on 8 through 11, that takes that $43 million that's in there and reduces that and makes that available. But this is kind of I hesitate to say worst case scenario, because everything can always get worse. But this is it. If we can't cut cost, if we can't get additional funding, based on what we now know, that's where we're at. Did I get that right?
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for providing that context. That's
well, I hate to, you know, not disagree, but, you know, challenge you, because I think, you know, something that you have worked on, I think I like scenario 2, because it gives, you know, some parameters to a lot of things. You continue that work of getting grants and getting some, you know, some extra funding for other segments, but you're still, you know, prioritizing South County.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I completely agree, and that's why there are a number of recommendations that are laid out in the staff report that speak to what other funding we could use to help prioritize work in the South County to really set that up for better competing for state or federal funding.
Commissioner Schifrin?
Yes, thank you. I have a couple of questions. I'm glad the table is up. On scenario 1, it says that segments 8 through 11 additional funding, $0 are going to be necessary. Why then do we need a bonding of $20 million? Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good question. So when the commission took action in May 2022 to program funding to provide the 20% match for the active transportation program grants for 8 and 11, so in order that they could take their grant applications forward and say we have a 20% match for Measure D, that required a $20 million bonding effort to deliver the projects on schedule. So that was already assumed based on prior cost estimates from 2022 that were included in the active transportation program grant applications.
But the remaining capacity is shown as $97 million. Couldn't the $20 million local match come out of that $97 million and then save $34 million in debt service? I mean, that would reduce the remaining.
It's because of the time. So the $97 million is the balance on a pay-as-you-go. So that would be if we just we waited to have the revenues available on an annual basis throughout the life of Measure D. But in order to deliver the projects earlier on schedule according with their applicant grant application, so for example, we're assuming kind of a mid-year 2026 construction period, and we'd need to borrow future revenues to deliver those projects. So that's what the $20 million, those are the bond proceeds that then ultimately end up in a debt service of $34 million.
So what you're saying is when we're projecting, when the commission's projecting to be able to start construction of segments 8 through 11, there will not be enough Measure D money to pay for the local share, therefore bonding will be necessary.
Correct.
Is that correct? So if the construction gets delayed, as construction tends to happen in most cases, then that amount of bonding might be reduced or unnecessary depending on how long the delay is. Is that?
I think that there's two things to consider. I mean, the answer is yes, but it's, I would say, in given the time frame we're looking at for delivery of segments 8 through 11, bonding would still be required. I don't think we would have sufficient revenues, for example, even through 2030, to deliver those construction projects without bonding. I'm sorry, what was your second question?
That was the question. But my next question is kind of a follow-up. There are assumptions built into this table, and in terms of the bonding, the required bonding, you know, I'm sort of a pay-as-you-go kind of person, and I appreciate that that's the goal of the commission staff, so I'm not in any disagreement, but there are certain assumptions built into when these various projects are going to come online and therefore when the bonding is going to be necessary. And could you go through some of the timing? So like with segments 13 through 20, when were you projecting that those projects would be moving forward?
So for the scenario under which we would program potentially $10 million to advance the environmental phase, which is scenario 4, we assume the environmental phase would be kicked off in fiscal year 26-27. For construction, which we for segments 13 through 20, where you assume the $45 million, we'd assume that funding would be needed for construction in fiscal year 2030. And these are assumptions, but they're based on how we would see the project delivery moving forward. And then I guess I'm kind of backing into it. For segments 8 through 11, the bonding would occur in 2026-27. And we look at the bonding that would be needed over a three-year period. And I did remember the other point I wanted to make in your comment is, you know, there is certainly the interest cost. There's debt service cost to bonding, but we also have to consider when the projects get pushed out, you have your escalation costs for the project costs as well, which we're assuming right now is 5%. It seems kind of that's where folks are falling right now. So it's something to consider if we push projects out and as a trade-off to bonding and debt service.
Okay, thank you. Those answer the questions about the table. I did, the staff report does mention segment 18 in the city of Watsonville, and I haven't sort of been able to keep track of that. So rather than go into it today, I wonder if at our next meeting we could receive a written update on what's the status of segment 18 and its construction. My vague understanding is that it's partially completed, but it's not completely completed. And so I think it would be helpful to understand, at least I'd like to understand better what's going on with that segment.
And I can answer it real briefly. I think I'm happy to bring back a report, but I want the commission to know that RTC staff is working very closely with the city of Watsonville right now to try to figure out how to move their priority projects forward and where segment 18 falls in that. So segment 18 has been divided into three phases, and phase one is completed. And phase two and three have not been moving forward. They've been on hold waiting the development, the completion of the zero emission passenger and rail trail project concept alignment. It's a very tricky area on a curve in between Walker Street and Lee Street, and we've worked with various configurations with their staff, and ultimately that we've been on hold for the future phases until the completion of the project concept report. But we're actively in discussions with the City of Watsonville staff right now to figure out where their priorities are and how to advance some of those projects.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying there, the alignment is going to be based on how much space is needed for various rail?
There's what we found when looking at developing phases 2 and 3 is that there was right-of-way acquisition would be needed. And in order to determine the preferred alignment, we felt that it should be developed in coordination with the passenger rail project. And that's what you're seeing through your zero emission passenger and rail trail project is an alignment for segment 18 that includes both passenger rail in that corridor as well as the trail.
Well, we haven't really, I mean, I know they're both going on concurrently for the South County segments, but for the other segments, they've really gone forward independently. And I'm just, you know, while we get some public criticism of that reality, we have been moving forward with those projects. So I, you know, since we've got an elongated timeline for the passenger rail service study, I would like more of an explanation about why we can't move forward as we've done in the North County with segment 18, irrespective of what's going on with the rail study.
Certainly, we can bring that information back to you.
I'm sorry. I can understand for 13 from Aptos to Watsonville why they would, you know, want to sort of integrate them together. But since they've already been work on segment 18, why it is impossible to complete that project isn't really clear to me. So I think it would be helpful to get more information on that.
That'd be fine for us. We'd be happy to bring that information back. I just wondered if it would be you'd be open to us bringing it back closer to September. We're actively in conversations with City of Watsonville right now about how that might look, and I think it would benefit both of us to have a little bit more time of what the next steps might be. If not, you know, we can let you know where we're at in August, but I think it might be more informative if we had a little more time to continue to work with them.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner Montesino.
That brings back a lot of questions because as we're working to keep, we'll move back the scenarios. You know, like the explanation, but like I said, and I like the analysis that's gone through it. But we like some pork too on this side, you know, and we have a trail to nowhere. You know, and in that way, if we're working on a scenario 2, you know, and, you know, I like scenario 3. I don't know if I would get the votes for it, but like I said, given an analysis of if you're bringing it back and that date, can you give an analysis of the cost and how we can move that forward sooner?
Segment 18 specifically or the entire range?
Segment 13? 18 oh, sure. Specifically.
Yeah, that will include that. Thank you.
Further questions or comments from commissioners? Yeah, Commissioner McPherson.
Yeah, there's a couple of different numbers here. Could you clarify the needed funding for trail and rail maintenance? The corridor, it says the rail corridor is $36 million for, and then trail for $30 million. Now, is that so? That's a total of $63 million for maintenance. Is that correct?
66. So, what we've projected is a little over $1 million in corridor maintenance per year. What we found so far that we haven't been expending. We haven't expended that much every year, but we still think it's a prudent estimate to move forward with, given that we don't know where we might have. Slides or other storm damage up here on the rail line. So that's for the corridor itself.
Is that is it one of the purposes for the active transportation program to pay for that?
It is an allowable expense under the active transportation program. And Luis, you look like you were going to be prepared to answer that. Did you want to?
Okay. The report indicates that close to, I think it's $45 million. Is close to the 20% match. Is that pretty accurate today?
So that we completed the cost estimates for segments 13 through 20 in-house using the Caltrans 11-page cost estimates. So there are a lot of assumptions that go into it before when a project's in such early stages. And then we escalated the cost of the projects out to 2026 to provide kind of a comparison to the other costs of the segments 8 and 11 since they're really using a 2026 cost. So I will have, I think we'll, after the project concepts report is complete, we'll be able to take another look at the cost estimates, but I think they're the best guess what we have right now.
Okay. And the report assumes that more routine projects such as bike lanes and pedestrian paths can be, there's a backfill of the ultimate train segments. For the city of Santa Cruz, which has already participated, I know, can it use its own Measure D money for part of that?
City of Santa Cruz has committed its local share of Measure D funding over, I want to say it's around $2 million, but it could be $1 to $2 million for that project. And also the County of Santa Cruz previously committed $1.5 million in their local funds for that segment 8 and 9, or segment 9.
Okay, thank you. And the report projects that the Measure D Active Transportation Funds has a total capacity of $174 million, I think, still. And
that's the total estimated revenues over the life of the measure.
And that's until the Measure D is end after 30 years. And I think we're collecting about, I think you have $5.7 million per year, but aren't we collecting $4.7 million?
Well, it does vary. We're right in today's dollars, it is closer to 4.7, 4.5. Actually, I have to look to Tracy if she's here. It's around 4.5. But we also have to assume that you're earning interest on the revenues as they are collected if you're not, spending them at that time. So that's also part of the calculation. And we're assuming a 5% interest revenue.
Okay. And one other thing is the MOU with Roaring Camp be completed yet? It was going to, under discussion, I think, under the last meeting. And if so, is that integrated anywhere in this report?
We have not completed the memorandum of understanding with Roaring Camp yet, but we have met with them several times and had another field visit, and specifically talking about the work that Roaring Camp could do. They're expecting a draft of the MOU from them any day. We are hoping to have it prior to this meeting, but we are actively working on developing it. It is a complicated agreement that we have to work through.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Commissioner Montesino.
So, seems like through the where you're at, you're worried to have a lot of trails built in the north, correct? And but there's only in scenario four are you accounting for maintenance estimate. What about the others?
It's very challenging, as you can see. If we added in the trail maintenance costs, we're fully burdened if Measure D active transportation category was burdened with the trail maintenance costs, we would be oversubscribed in every single category. If we wanted to also allocate funding to the cost potential cost increases and additional development of segments.
So, wouldn't the scenario be a more sound, scenario to move forward in? Wouldn't scenario four would be a more sound, because we're estimating, maintenance that we have to take care of?
Yeah, that assumes that some of the maintenance costs for the trail comes from the Measure D active transportation category. Yes, that's correct for scenario four.
So under our working, there's no money. So where are we going to get it? Under what we're working scenario two, what are we doing?
We do not have, in this scenario, it does not assume that the Measure D active transportation category funds trail maintenance throughout the life of the measure. What we could talk about is, that $15 million remaining Measure D capacity could be used to continue to fund trail maintenance for the segments that are constructed.
Thank you.
I think it's one thing, it's challenging, but it's important to note that when we're talking about the estimates for trail maintenance, we're assuming that the segments come online over time and are constructed and open to the public by 2030, 35 timeframe. So those numbers are estimates based on when we think the projects are going to be delivered. And they assume that that would be the burden on the Measure D active transportation category. And you can see in the staff recommendation, RTC staff thinks that it's important to look at alternative funding sources for the maintenance in order to prioritize trail construction.
Yeah, Commissioner Schifrin.
I'm going to ask a question that's probably going to offend some of the commissioners, and that is, can TDA revenues be used for trail maintenance?
I'll let Luis Mendez answer that question.
Yes, it could be.
Thank you.
Would that have to be approved by the commission, though? Correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
Well, okay. Some of the TDA revenues are, I mean, they go directly to the, our allocations to the local jurisdictions, and then the local jurisdictions return to the RTC with a request for how to use those funds. That's the process.
Commissioner Montesino.
So today, can we change direction and I can get a vote for Senator Ford?
You could make a motion.
You told me that I couldn't throw out a scenario. These are scenarios published. So, Steve.
Can you repeat the question again?
If I were to, make a motion to change direction and do scenario four. Because we're working out of scenario two.
Well, this item is not an action item, it's a report item that's
okay.
Before the commission. So, I mean, if you wanted to request that something be scheduled as an action item or part of at the appropriate time to take that kind of action, you could do that. That's not what this is scheduled for, though, today.
I thought that's what I asked the last time, but okay.
This is an action item to have some action items in there, but it does not specify that the commission adopt any particular scenario, but there are several recommendations that the commission is being asked to act on.
So I think if I'm understanding correctly, Commissioner Montesino, the question is legally, is he allowed to ask the commission to act on something that is not mentioned in the packet as part of the actions for today?
No, that should come back at a subsequent meeting when it's properly.
Comments?
There are no additional comments online.
All right. With that, I will bring it back to the commission for further deliberation, discussion, and a vote. I'll start with Commissioner Montesino and then Commissioner Schifrin.
I'll move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Oh, sorry, Director.
If I may, I just want to be clear. We have some of the recommendations up on the screen. There are a couple of recommendations in the staff report, which are things we're already doing, but I want to make sure the commissioners know there's a difference, such as seek state and federal funding for coast rail trail projects. We have that in the staff report as a recommendation, in addition to obviously receiving this information and then completing segments 13 through 20 alignment as part of the zero emission passenger rail trail. So there's things that we're already doing, but I want to make sure that you were aware that the way they're enumerated in the staff report on pages 36-8 through 9 are a little bit different than how they're stated up here, but they're the same.
Okay. Commissioner Montesino and then Commissioner Schifrin.
With that, a direction of bringing back segment 18 and the cost analysis, and also to, do we have to have a question? Do we have to have a vote to move away from going through the slew trails on 17th, or do we assume going through beach?
I don't think it's appropriate at this time to provide that direction. As stated in the staff report, in order to come up with an alignment, an alternative alignment for segment 17, we need to form a committee and have a discussion about that so we can do that as we begin to continue to move forward with developing the segment 17 alignment. But if you had a preference, you could state that preference, but I don't think at this time it's appropriate to.
No, I didn't want to do a preference, but I just wanted to know what the process was.
Oh, okay. So we'll be looking at those, and in part will be discussions with City of Watsonville staff as we start talking about how we can develop the segments in South County and what the priorities are for bicycle and pedestrian improvements. And then we do need to establish a committee as part of a settlement agreement we made with the farmers in 2015 to look at an alternative alignment for segment 17 so we can start to work towards that.
Thank you. And just, I don't know if it's appropriate now to ask for the requested agenda item to bring scenario four back. agenda this. Thank you.
Commissioner Schifrin.
Yeah, let me see if I'm understanding that table, what its implications are, because my understanding is that any of the scenarios could result from the staff recommendation. So the staff recommendation, including moving forward with segments 13 and 20 as part of the rail study and then looking for other funds, is consistent with scenario 4, because if there's, you know, once those segments are developed, the commission is going to be looking by approving the staff recommendation, as in our packet. So it doesn't prevent any one of these scenarios from going forward. It's going to depend on how much money they end up costing, and what approaches that we take. And the real concern, I think, is not trying to pick a scenario, but really staying focused on moving forward with the South County segments. And I think that's my understanding of what the staff recommendation is to do. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, there's two kind of things I would reply to that. I mean, one of the reasons that I requested, you know, more time to work with the city of Watsonville is because a lot of this information is in terms of the alignment for those segments, 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 in South County, and it's being developed right now through the concept report that Riley was presenting. So that's helping to inform what the footprint of those trail segments would be. So that is part of the work that we're doing. In terms of the request for a particular scenario, what I'm hearing Commissioner Montesino request is that we would program funding to segments 13 through 20. We typically program funding as part of the Measure D 5-year plan update in the fall, but we do occasionally take action to program additional funds outside of that time period.
Yes.
So that's going to come back to us.
Yeah. I understand that's the motion. Yeah. But
the motion is to approve the staff recommendation, coming back with more information on segment 18.
And then I heard Commissioner Montesino make a request. I don't know if it was a motion. What was your comment? I don't want to put any words into your mouth.
It wasn't in the course of a motion. Okay.
Okay, so, all right, I guess
it's separate from the motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me, Madam Chair, if I might add with response to one of Commissioner Schifrin's comments about, you know, whether any of those potential scenarios could actually be what ends up happening. Yeah, it is true that, I mean, the potential scenario depends on a number of things. And, for example, we are requesting funds for the cost overruns that we currently know of for the various segments of the trail. So in scenario 4, I mean, we say, well, maybe we'll get some of those funds. We expect we'll get some of those funds. It's just we don't know exactly how much. And so therefore, that's why we put, you know, $20 million in potential Measure D funds for segments 8 through 11, assuming that we would get you know, the other $23 million from other funding sources, or through cost reductions based on the work that, you know, RTC staff is doing with Roaring Camp and with the project sponsors to try to reduce the cost of the project. So, yes, all those things are variables that will impact whatever scenario the RTC might decide to use as a guide, I suppose.
When do we normally program funds, though? I thought we programmed funds for the different segments at the time that we were requesting outside funding.
we have worked to try to do the funding, you know, once a year, basically, to be a party to, you know, consolidate with other things that we're doing, such as our budget amendments and so on, et cetera, and to try to be efficient with staffing resources. So we typically try to do that, like early fall or late fall. It typically has been in the fall. But sometimes it is varied, depending on what's going on. And sometimes it's necessary to program funds outside of that, additionally to what the ARCC has already programmed in the fall, as Commissioner Schifrin expressed, possibly to have matching funds for particular grants that have a certain deadline, outside of a regular process and so on. So traditionally we try to do all the programming in the fall, but we've done it at other times in the year as it has become necessary, or if there's a preference of the RTC to do something, additional at another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I? Yes. I know Commissioner Schifrin, stated like that's towards our goals. It's good to have goals, but I like in writing, Scenario 4 is in writing, and that provides a guide for my community to say, at least we can get the environmental report, at least we can get a part of a trail segment, at least we got, some directions instead of hopefully we don't use all the money. Hopefully, there's a grant opportunities. Hopefully, all these other variables. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Commissioner, yes.
Yeah, overall, I think, it's great to look at it, from a micro perspective, but also on a macro level. The purpose of this rail and trail, is to support the community as a whole, and the community includes the city of Watsonville. I have the understanding that, today is more to accept and understand the various scenarios that can take place. However, I do think there's... it should be included in the conversation as to how we can prioritize funds now to ensure they are available, at a specific time frame, rather than, as Commissioner Montesino said, waiting to see if additional funds become available and hoping we can get additional grants. So I just wanted to, support Commissioner Montesino and his comments, and thank you guys for your time.
All right. I just have a quick question as well. So I understand that we're not choosing segment 17A or 17B today, and then it requires a committee, et cetera. Should we go through that process and we determine that we are going to move forward with 17B, can we then allocate the money saved by committing to 17B over 17A to the remainder of the segments 13-220?
So at this point, the commission has not programmed funds to segments 13 through 20. So if you're talking about savings, it's really a lower cost estimate for the overall project delivery for segments 13 through 20.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Further comments, questions? Seeing none. Okay. We do have action items. Oh, yes.
One additional comment online from Ben Vernassa.
He already spoke on public comment for this item, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
We do have action items for this item, however. Do we have a motion?
Yes.
I apologize. We do have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes,
we do. Okay, thank you. Roll call vote, then.
Certainly. And just to clarify the motion, it is the staff recommendations, in addition to a report to the commission that would come later. With regards to segment in September with on segment 18, what the status of segment 18 is, and then also bring an item back to the commission on the possibility of.
It's not.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. All right. Okay. And then.
Can you repeat that again?
It's the staff recommendations, and then returning to the commission with a report on the status of segment 18.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, Commissioner McKeithen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rotkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Pegler.
Aye.
Commissioner McPherson.
Aye.
Commissioner Peterson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kristen Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino.
Yes.
Commissioner Schifrin.
Aye.
Commissioner Sandy Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Gittleson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Quinn.
Absent.
That passes unanimously.
Great, thank you. With that, we've come to the end of our meeting. We will adjourn to our next RTC meeting scheduled on Thursday, August 1st. I anticipate that's our next regularly scheduled commission meeting, although I anticipate we will be having a transportation policy workshop on the 20th. Is that correct? Yes, on July 20th. June 20th. Until then, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. We're adjourned.